Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure they're going to stop. This one's my fault, yeah? Maybe. Okay. With your permission. With your permission, Elohim, Aleph chapter 2. No, Wednesday is Megillah. Wednesday is Avashem Megillah Esther. This is really the Haftarah as well of Parashat Vayechi. The Navi tells us, page 802. The Navi tells us, Vayikrevu Yemei David Lamut. This is David HaMelech. He is in his last few days, if we may say. Vayetzav et Shlomo bno lemo. This is his will to his son Shlomo. David at the time is about 70, and Shlomo is about 12. This is almost exact, well, just another information when this really meeting did happen. But it means that it's very close to David HaMelech disappearing from this world. So it's already Shlomo was anointed less chapter. And he is the new king, and he's already sitting on David's chair, and he was riding on David's mule. And now David HaMelech is calling Shlomo, and he's telling him his last word. Here you have the words, and he sent the two with your permission, and he will left the derech kol haaretz, I'm going to die like everybody else. This is a really a nice thing to say. Instead of saying, I'm going to die, so he's saying, I'm going to walk on the same path that everybody else walks. Maybe it's a nice word to say. Maybe he did not want to scare him. Maybe just, you know, a nice, to have a nice feeling that to say that don't worry about it, we have to go through. Maybe that's what it means. But that's not all what it means. The Chazakta Vaita Rish, he should be strong and he should be a man. Of course, the simple explanation means that Shlomo HaMelech is 12 years old, and he tells him, you have to be strong and you have to be a man. I don't know what kind of a command it is exactly, but maybe this is just that's the way you talk to your young son. Maybe that's the way he talks to his young son. He only tells him, you have to be a man, you have to be a man. V'shamata et mishmeret Hashem Elokecha. You should keep what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to keep. Elechet b'drachav to go on Hashem's path, v'shmor chukav, chukotav, mitzvotav, mishpatav, b'edvotav, HaKasuv b'Torah Moshe. You should keep the Torah. It's not a command of the Melech to his son. I mean, it's Hashem commands that every person to keep the Torah. But maybe that's what it means. Just on the surface, maybe David Melech emphasizes to Shlomo that you have to be a man and you have to keep the Torah. That means the last word of David Melech to Shlomo that he has to keep the Torah. Maybe that's what it means. Why not? I mean, you should tell it to your son before you go out of this world. You should tell his son, please keep the Torah. Again, but it's really something that really is very obvious, and you do not need the visitor from all. Certainly, we don't have to read in the Tanakh. For sure, it doesn't matter this discussion that went between David HaMelech and Shlomo HaMelech, and David HaMelech Shlomo is this, be a man, and also keep the Torah. Even if that's what it means, the simple explanation, the Tanakh does not have to write it. For me, it's really, really irrelevant what was the last word of David HaMelech Shlomo HaMelech. It's irrelevant to me. And if it's so simple that he tells him to keep it, of course it's irrelevant. I mean, maybe he did tell him that as what it means. I don't think that's what it means. But let's assume that's what it means. Again, that Navi, the position of Ruach HaKodesh is Tanakh. You don't have to have this kind of statement to tell me what exactly he told him, and this means if this really are meaningless. In order for you to understand, to to be successful as in, this is the real sense. In order for you to be successful, so that's what it means. You have to be a man and you have to keep the Torah. Again, you don't have to tell it to me. I mean, I know it from the Torah, but again, it's very possible that the father would tell this to his son. But again, the Navi does not have to tell you that if it's so simple.
Yeah, but it became a custom to leave what they call ethical wills, which also says that.
Again, that's why I say, again, this is not what it means. It's just the beginning, so I cannot tell you what it means yet. But again, even this, what it means. I'm sorry?
Then we could go home early.
Right. But even this, if this is what it means, really, you have to understand the Navi is written by Ruach HaKodesh, and you really do not need to write this in the Navi. If it's something that you don't know, the Navi should have written it, but you cannot tell David HaRosh and Torah Shlomo to have everyday lunch, and he should say the Brachot, and they should put Tefillin on, he should put the Tzitzit on, even though he might have told him that, it's really irrelevant for the Tanakh. In the Tanakh, he don't write things that's not relevant. למען יקים השם את דברו אשר דיבר עליי לאמור אינו לפי הקדוש ברוך הוא to fulfill what he promised me or he promised on me אם ישמרו בניך את דרכם ולכת לפניי באמת הקדוש ברוך הוא promised me if my children are going to keep their way on the right way ללכת לפניי באמת to walk in front of me באמת it means with truthfully בכל לבבה בכל נפשם with all the heart with all the soul לאמור להתיירת לך איש מלכתי ישראל this is answers a little bit David HaMelech tells Shlomo that you should know this is not just a regular will what I tell you that you have to keep the Torah this is also in order for Hashem to keep his promise Hashem maybe will keep his promise only if you will keep what you got to keep it means Hashem promised me that your children are going to continue the kingdom of Am Yisrael and this is the one condition depends if they will keep the Torah certainly now I'm begging you to keep the Torah it's not just to keep the Torah but this is also because I want you to continue my kingdom and your children to continue their kingdom this is in the condition that you have to keep the Torah so sounds, now it sounds a little bit better after this pasuk this is what really he tells him that he got to do it because this is necessary for his kingdom But again, this will not answer the question that why do we have to know? This is a private promise, a private dialogue between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and David HaMelech. And David HaMelech wants to pass the kingdom. This is the book today. It's page 802.
Thank you.
So again, we really do not have to know the discussion that went on between David and Shlomo because this is a private thing, a family thing between him and his son if the kingdom should be continued. Again, the Navi does not have to tell me that David and Shlomo told Shlomo, you have to keep the Torah, you have to keep the Torah because Hashem told me that if my children will keep, they will be able to continue and to rule after me. Again, this is a private discussion between them. It's really irrelevant to us. We don't have to know that. And certainly the Navi does not have to write this. This is, again, it's a part of the Navi. This is chapter 2, sentence 5. Sentence 5. Melachim Aleph. Page? 800. I'm sorry. It's 802. Vegam Matai Yadata, you also know Et Asher Asali Li Yoav Ben Tzruya. Also, you should know what Yoav did to me. So the Gemara says, the Midrash says, what he means to say that he refers to the story of Uriah Hitti. Uriah Hitti was the first husband of Bathsheba, and in the Navi tells us in Sefer Shmuel that David HaMelech sent a letter with Uriah. To the chief of staff at the time was Yoav. Yoav is a nephew of David HaMelech, and Yoav gets the letter. In the letter, it was written to take Uriah to put him all the way up in the front. Uriah was one of the very successful soldiers and officers of the army of David HaMelech. He was officer number 37, and in the letter was written to take this guy and to put him all the way in the front. This is in order that David HaMelech wanted to get rid of him. And since Uriah was a hero, says the Midrash, says the Gemara, and he was killed immediately, instantly, the people, the soldiers came over to Yoav and said, how did you make such a mistake? How did you ask this officer to go all the way in the front and to put him in danger? Something's wrong with you. Since he asked him so many questions, he pulled out a letter. He had a letter in his pocket. He pulled out the letter, and the letter he showed David HaMelech's signature, and David HaMelech commanded him to put Mr. Uriah in the front. And also the letter said, oh wow, I don't believe it. That's David HaMelech, this is the guy, a murderer. A murderer. He sends a letter to Uriah to get rid of this guy, to Yoav, to get rid of Uriah, to get rid of Uriah. Everybody was talking about it. That's the Midrash said, that's what he refers to here, sentence 5, when he tells Shlomo HaMelech, I want you to know, this is my will to you. You also know, et asher asal Yoav ben Tzruya. Whatever he did to me, what did he do to me? He showed my personal letter, my personal command, that I commanded Mr. Yoav to put Uriah all the way in the front in order for Uriah to get killed. After he was killed, he showed the letter to everybody. Same explanation what it means is that he has some hatred, or he has something that to do with him that he wants to finish up with him. And he tells Shlomo, you know what happened. I don't know how Shlomo knows about it, but maybe it was all over the internet at the time. Shlomo HaMelech was not born yet. And how does he know what did happen? Politics, but maybe some people told him, maybe he heard. But then he tells him, you know, this accident that we had with Mr. Yoav, that he showed the letter, I want you to know, it sounds like that he embarrassed me, or sounds like he did something against me. And plus, in the sentence continue, Asher Asal Ishne Sarei Tzivot Israel, also besides his misbehavior to two great officers of chief of staff or ministers of defense of Am Israel, the first one was Avner Ben-Er, he used to be the chief of staff of Shaul HaMelech, that Mr. Yoav killed him. Maybe partially because Yoav wanted the job. Vela Masa Ben Yeter, this is also another person that was appointed by David HaMelech to be the chief of staff after Yoav killed Avshalom, and Yoav killed him as well. So Yoav killed two big officers that really he was afraid of his job, and he killed two big chief of staff. And you know it, what it is. That's what David HaMelech calls Shlomo, that's his will. He said, you know, this guy, Yoav ben Tzruya, that's my nephew, he did very bad things. First of all, he showed the personal letter that I sent him in order to put Uriah on the front. Plus, he killed two big people. And I'm very upset. What he did is not only that he killed them, he ruined certain relationship and my name, that I really showed everybody that I'm a peaceful person. The first occasion was with Avner, that he was the chief of staff of Shaul, and I showed everybody that I have nothing against Mr. Avner, even though Avner was guarding constantly Shaul, and Shaul was trying to kill David, if you remember. And now I'm embarrassed that this guy that really was on my side, his name is Yoav, he killed Mr. Avner. That Avner really belongs to the other side, the other party, even though that I showed everybody that I have nothing against Shaul, I have nothing against no one, and this guy went and killed him. Not only that, he by saying the name of Khamabah Shabaglav. By the way, also, you know that he played tricks. When he killed those people, he didn't kill them as a gentleman, he killed them with a sneaky way. The first one he killed, I mean the second one, Navi says the first one here, as he was wearing his sword sideways, not up and down like you really should wear a sword, and while he was wearing it sideways, he came and spoke to Amasa Ben Yeter. This was supposed to be the next chief of staff after David HaMelech fired, if you may say Yoav, after Yoav killed Avshalom, and he met him on the street, and he said, how are you, how are you feeling? And he bent down next to him, and the sword was was put sideways, and this Raphael did not believe what's going to happen, that he wasn't careful enough, and immediately this guy Yoav just pushed the sword a little bit and Raphael fell down dead. That's what's called by Ten Memel Chama. He put this war, the blood of this war, Bachagorato, in his belt. Asher Bemotnav, that the sword was standing or was sitting sideways. When Allah Asher Bemotnav, so the Gemara said that also he killed Avner. Avner was very powerful, a very strong person. It was almost impossible to kill him. And Yoav asked him a very sneaky question. He asked him, you know, there is halacha that if Chas v'Shalom a person dies and he leaves his wife without children, halacha is that his brother should marry his wife. That's called Yibum. And if he doesn't want to do it, then his thing is called Chalitza, that the wife comes to Bedin and the person has to wear a special shoe, and she takes off the shoe from the person, and that's called Chalitza. The Gemara says that first it comes that a brother should marry his sister-in-law if his brother died without children, but if the brother does not want to marry her, he should give her Chalitza. This is also in our time as well, that this is what the lady has to do. She has to go to Bedin and untie the shoe of the brother-in-law, and it's called Bet Chalutza. Now the Torah says that you call him, you don't want to marry me, you don't want to put a baby's name after your brother that died, my late husband, shame on you. She spit at him, she spit on the floor, not on him, she spit on the floor, and she unties the shoes. Says the Gemara that this Mr. Yoav came over and he met Mr. Avner. Avner was a very knowledgeable person, as well as a chief of staff, a very big hero. And he asked me, he says, I have a question to you. He says, yeah, what's the question? He says, well, there's a special halakha that I learned in Yeshiva about untie the shoe of the brother-in-law that doesn't want to marry his sister-in-law. He says, what will happen if the lady doesn't have a hand? How she's going to untie the shoe? Avner said, really? What kind of question is this? What do you mean she doesn't? I can show it to you. He says, what do you mean you can show it to me? I says, with all the respect, let me see how you do it. So Avner bent down and untied the shoe. In the meantime, he bent down and untied the shoe. Yoav took the sword and killed it. Yoav, so David HaMelech, that's the story he's telling Shlomo. You should know this guy, Yoav, is a very sneaky, very bad person. First of all, he embarrassed me. Second, he killed two big people by not like a gentleman a fight to take them on the ring and try to kill them. No, both of them he killed in the wrong way. The one he wasn't able to overcome them, and he played a trick on them, and that's how he killed them.
Yeah, but what is the significance of untying the shoe? I don't
understand. We don't know exactly. I mean, we do and we don't. The way it says in the Torah, in Parashat Ki Tetzeh, the Torah tells us this is a procedure. It's pasuk in the Torah that if the brother does not want to marry the sister-in-law when the husband died without children, then what she, in order for her to get married to anybody else, she must get, it's called chalitza. And if she doesn't get it, she cannot marry to anybody else in the world. No one. And Chalitza, that's the procedure. She goes to Bedin, she tells Bedin, my brother doesn't want to marry me, and Bedin asks him, why don't you want to marry her? I said, I don't want to marry her. I have my own reasons. In our time, this halacha applies as well. If Chas v'Shalom, a lady is married and the husband dies, that's an initial a lot. With the soldiers or in the same. So then the lady, if the husband died, was killed, died, doesn't matter. With no children, the choice, the first choice and the only choice, she has to marry her brother. In our time, that halacha usually is not being completed. Since the Gemara says, since in our time, Baruch Hashem, we came to that stage that the brothers-in-law used to kill the brother in order to marry his wife. So in Europe and in a lot of countries, that thing was canceled. The thing is called Yibum, that you marry your sister-in-law in case your brother died without children. The thing was cancelled. Chachamim said do not do it. This is because some people, this is one of the reasons, one of the reasons. People, you know, if I want to marry my sister-in-law, the only way to marry my sister-in-law is with, when my brother is going to get killed. They used to send a hitman to kill his brother. And then there's another reason the Chachamim said, another reason. But still you have it, in Yemen you have it. Mainly in Yemen you have it, and also some countries still have it. And in case the brother does not want to marry, the prestigious goal is called Khalita, and then they come to court, the Bedin, and the lady says to Bedin, he doesn't want to marry me, and he said, it's true, I don't want to marry her, and she spits on the floor, and then she untied the shoe. By untying his shoe, it means now she is called Khaluta. Khaluta, by the way, is a Suhal Kohen. Kohen cannot marry this lady anymore as well. And now she is allowed to marry anyone in the world, besides the Kohen. Untying the shoe, what he does. The Gemara tells us, for example, the Gemara says that since Abraham Avinu told the king of Sodom, Im mechuz ve'at rochna, I will not take from you not a string and not a shoelace, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, that the Gemara says, this mitzvah is called Chalitza. It means to untie the shoe. The reason why we got this mitzvah is the zechut of Avraham Avinu. It means without Avraham Avinu, the lady must get married to her brother-in-law, and if he doesn't want, too bad. Too bad for her. She is staying and waiting for her brother-in-law to marry her, and if he won't marry her, it's forever, she cannot get married. Came Abraham Avinu because he did not want to take from Melech Sodom or the king of Sodom anything. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted us with that mitzvah called Chalitza, that the lady can get untied from her brother-in-law and get married to anybody else. The secret behind the shoe, the secret behind the shoe. There's a secret in the shoe. There's a secret in the shoe. This is one of the arises. One of the brachot that we say in the morning, when we wake up in the morning, is "Shasa li kol tzorki." It says, "Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Shasa li kol tzorki." God Almighty, you gave me everything what I need. So Chachamim said, the Ari says, the bracha "Shasa li kol tzorki" really goes on shoes, on shoes. So Chachamim said, the days that we don't wear shoes, it means on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, we should omit this bracha. We should not say the bracha. The bracha she'asa li kol tzorki, even though it sounds like God gave me everything, that's a simple translation of that sentence. She'asa li, God made for me kol tzorki, whatever I need. Says the Chachamim, no, it goes on shoes. And therefore the bracha next to it is Amichim mitzadei gaver, or gever, but it means this HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepares all my footsteps. And Shatalu Kol Toki refers to shoes. It says, what is really the shoe? What is really the shoe? By the way, the shoe...
What is it based on, that they say it's shoe?
What Chachamim said it's based on?
Yeah.
Chachamim based it on what the Gaonim said. That's what Chachamim said, that's what the Gaonim had in mind. What the Gemara had in mind. The Gemara made it, the Sons of Gemara, the Chayin Esther made those brachot. And those brachot were made on the Chayin Esther, and people did not know what it means, and the Chachamim came in the Gemara and said what it means the shoes. What's the Chayin Esther? Oh, you said Chayin Esther? Ah, so, thank you very much. So Chachamim said that's what in Mordechai and Esther, when they made the brachot, they meant that. Like you have in Kavanah in the morning, Shatali Kol Tzorki, or like he shows me in one Siddur, and says Tzorachai, it refers to the shoes. Again, the bracha next to it is a Mechil Mitzadei Gever. Gever, it means the Rebbe who prepares the footstep. If you remember, I mean, it sounds like a story, but if you remember, the Gemara says, the Midrash says, then the brothers sold Yosef, they bought pair of shoes for each one. The money that they got from the buyer, they went and they purchased shoes. That's the Navi, it says in Amos, they've yon babu na'alayim. It's all shoes. If you remember the first shoemaker, Hanukh. Hanukh was the first shoemaker that eventually became the interior minister upstairs. If you remember, that's what we learned 2 weeks ago in the parasha, that in Beit HaMikdash, the Kohanim had to wash the hands and the feet together. A Kohen, when he came to Beit HaMikdash, he had to wash his hands and feet. Ari says, we should have washed our feet today as well. Not only in the morning we wash our hands, we wake up, that is crucial. We should wash our feet, but we don't have the power today to do what really this thing used to do for the Kohanim and Beit HaMikdash. So what it means really, that like you wake up in the morning and you have to wash your hands 6 times is in order to get the bad wind from your hands, or achloket, oh, it means that you become a new person when you wake up, it means you're alive again. That simply really applies to your feet. The feet of a person, says the Gemara, has a tremendous power. The Gemara says, what is the power of the feet? The Gemara says, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Hishavti drachai v'ashiva raglai l'zotecha, that David HaMelech was able to achieve something. Was able to achieve that doesn't matter what he was thinking to do, his feet carried him to Beit HaKnesset, to Beit HaMidrash, to Beit Din, to the right place. So then when I said in Tehillim, I was thinking to go one place, but my feet carried me to the other side. The Gemara says, the feet of the person are responsible really for the person's life. It's not just, we think, that it says, the Gemara says, the person thinks, I got feet from HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to walk. No. The feet was given to a person for much more important things just than to walk. It says where to walk. It says if the person knows really what he should do, it says the feet will tell him if he does it right. So it means like this, if you can imagine that you don't think, as you get out of the house and you don't know where to go. If you're at a certain level, the feet will tell you where to go. It says you don't think, you don't guide your feet. The feet should guide you. That's really the secret of the feet. That the feet should guide us. That's the message in Tehillim. My feet guided me where to go in the morning. Not whatever I decided. He said, the Gemara tells us, the Midrash tells us, that this man, one of the people that was killed in the wars, his name was Asael. Asael, the Navi describes him that he was able to walk very lightly on his feet. The Midrash says he was able to walk on the flowers without bending the flowers. The feet has a tremendous power. It's not what you think, that you're walking and you stamp on and you put yourself down, says you have to march. And it says no, feet is not what you think. It's not that you walk on your feet, it means your feet has to carry you. And the feet carries you, the feet carry you in a way that you don't have even to put the weight of the body on the feet. It says the feet is just a method that they carry, it's a special thing inside the feet, and this is what the Asael, the Gemara said, the Navi said he used to run, and he used to be able to to fly over the things. He just had to rest his feet on something, but really he didn't squash it. He was walking on flowers, he was walking, the Gemara says, on wheat. He used to go in the field, he used to walk on the field. Again, the Dalai says that this is really what the feet is all about. The feet has a tremendous power. And since we go to sleep at night, or because we're not going to sleep at night, the Kohanim, they had to wash the feet in Beit HaMikdash in order for them to be able not to walk, in order for them to be able to be carried by the feet. So the feet are not the ones that we tell the feet where to go. Really, the purpose is with the feet should tell us where to go. And that's the Gemara Masechet Sukkah said it, Shlomo HaMelech said it. He said that, you know, a person has to know that his feet really responsible for him. The Gemara tells the story that Shlomo HaMelech sent somebody and that somebody did not want to go to a certain place, and Shlomo HaMelech thought that he is the smartest one, and he called one of the Shedim and he told him, carry those two people to Luz, and when they got to Luz, they died. Then Shlomo HaMelech said, I made a big mistake by sending somebody someplace because he did not want to go over there. I just sent him over there. It says if he did not want to go, it means his feet really felt he should not have gone that way. And if he went that way, it means because I sent him, it means it was against, when we say, the will of the feet. So what it means is like this, it's like a Gemara, this is the Kavanah that you should say in the morning. Ha-mechil mitzadei gaver, that you say, because of Shachar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he prepares the steps of a person. It means that's what he should have the bracha. The bracha is that you know you go that direction, not that direction. If you went on that highway and you got stuck on the highway because you didn't have the kavanah in the bracha. If you went to a place, there was a bomb over there, it's because you didn't say the bracha right. That is, the feet can protect you and send you to the right place. This is really why Hashem made us feet. It's not to walk, just opposite, to lead us. It's not we should tell the feet where to walk, it's the opposite. The feet should tell us where to walk. Just opposite of the thing. So he said, that's the Kavanah we should have in the morning. Now he said that this is really the next bracha, or the first bracha before, since our son he called Sofi, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu God Almighty, thank you for making me shoes. Now he says, the secret for the shoe is, when you cover the foot with a shoe, it means it controls that no bad entities will come and will penetrate or bother, may say, the foot. So the foot is a very sensitive item, and if you went to the Chinese would tell you that the most important part of the body is the foot. That is because the foot really has the power through the body, through the nerves, has a tremendous power, and that is really has to be guarded, has to be watched, and that's really the power of the shoe. And that person, like I said, that doesn't want to marry his sister, but it means he doesn't know where to go. He's walking the wrong way. Untying the shoe, take off the shoe, it means, you know, you don't walk the right way. You should have been married me. This is a special mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the Tariq mitzvot, 630 mitzvot, that you should come and marry me. You don't want to marry me. What it means is that you're walking on the wrong foot or towards the wrong place. And that's really significant. That is, says the untying the shoe from this lady that he does not want to marry. I mean, she untying his shoe. That's what it means.
Today you have a Bein of Gershon and a lot of people can't even know
right. But still, in order for the lady to be able to marry anybody else, she must, what we call, get chalitza, she must have this procedure done. Because if she doesn't do it, it means she's still married to the first person.
In this case, she's considered like divorcee, that if she cannot marry a Kohen, then she's
right. Not a divorcee. Right, that's Hamim, right. Hamim said that when she gets this chalitza, she's considered like a divorcee, and she should not marry a Kohen. But again, Hamim said it, because it looks like a divorcee, but Hashem in the Torah did not write it. Chachamim came up with this halacha.
If a guy died, she will be a
widow. With the second
widow. I'm talking about the guy who did not marry her. If he died, he cannot marry a divorcee, but he can marry a widow.
Right.
So she could be that, technically, you know, I don't know.
Right.
Technically,
yeah,
if the guy died,
then
she could marry her.
Right. Not if he died before he gave her the chalitza, not that. If already gave the chalitza, she's called divorcee.
Yeah, but if he dies, she becomes a widow. No, even after.
No. Too late.
No,
she's already divorced.
Well, she's divorced, yeah, then to begin with.
That doesn't happen now. So then again, we go back to the subject. This was Mr. Yoav asked this Mr. Ravner, excuse me, I have a question to you. If the lady has no hands and she cannot untie the shoe, how can she do this kind of a job? And Ravner was naive, we say, and said, really, this is a question that you have, I can show it to you. Ravner bent down, in the meantime, the minute he bent down, Yoav took his sword and killed him, chopped his head off. So David, that's the wheel of David HaMelech of Shlomo HaMelech. Let me tell you, it says to Shlomo HaMelech, this guy Yoav, I have three things against him. First of all, he showed my personal letter that I sent Yoav to put Uriah in the front. He showed it to everybody. And then he killed also two important ministers of Am Yisrael. Well, yeah. There are two explanations for that. The Gemara asked this question, why really did happen? So Masael, on Amasah, I'm sorry, Amasah ben Yeter, the Navi says that Shmuel, the reason for that was that David HaMelech sent Amasah to look around and to gather some people. In the meantime, he came to Bet HaKnesset one Bet HaKnesset, and he saw people learning over them. And he was sitting over there learning with them. He did not want to disturb them. And then he came back. Since he did that, it is called Moret B'Malchut. It means you are rebellion, you rebel against the king. Moret B'Malchut Chayav Mita. So therefore was maybe the excuse, the Gemara says of Yoav, that he killed Amasah because he did not give the right respect to David HaMelech, and you don't need to dream for this. And with Avner was something very similar to it. Something very similar. Also, they didn't have witnesses, in order for Bedin to kill you need witnesses, and Avner could not find the right witnesses, maybe. But that's what the Midrash says, that Yoav had some excuses. Everybody knew what he did, and he had some excuses why he did it, and he said he does it for David HaMelech's regime, for David HaMelech's kingdom. That's
what he did. Why did David HaMelech?
Did not do.
Why did David HaMelech justify it?
Right. So why he didn't do the job? Why he didn't show more?
Right.
I
don't know why he had the first soldier killed to marry Bathsheba.
He was justified.
And what was the problem showing the letter?
Well, okay. I just have to drink a little bit before I enter. There's few answers. Answer number one. The Metro says like this. Uriah was a goy. It's called Uriah Chiti. Uriah Chiti was Goliath's assistant. When David HaMelech killed Goliath, and Goliath fell on the floor, he ran to Goliath. And Goliath was unconscious, he wasn't dead yet. And David HaMelech did not have a sword with him, he only had those little stones. And he walked to Goliath, and Goliath fell toward him. And he ran to Goliath, and he wanted to take Goliath's sword and cut Goliath's head. Goliath's head on his sword, talk about it. Goliath's head on his sword, it says in the Radak story, the Midrash. Goliath had a pattern on his sword, pattern. And David was standing by, trying to pull the sword, cannot take the sword out. Next to Goliath was his assistant, the one that was holding the shield in front of Goliath, this was Uriah. David asked Uriah, can you help me out? So Uriah said, what are you going to give me for that? So David said, well, what do you want? He said, I want to marry a Jewish girl. But they're the American said, I want to have a Jewish wife. So David said, okay. He said, but I want the best. David said, okay. So the man she had Shabbat called at that moment, Hashem said, you gave him you. Bathsheba, that was really supposed to be David HaMelech's wife, David HaMelech lost his wife to this gentleman, Uriah. certainly this is his wife just because he made this mistake and he agreed with this guy. Eventually, that's what the Radak says, the Metro says, eventually, when David HaMelech took Bathsheba, says the Gemara, this was your wife, and Uriah had no right to marry her, it was just a punishment for you, and now it's time for you to get back to Uriah. So therefore he sent a letter to Uriah and he told Uriah, put this guy in the front, because really he is not supposed to marry my wife. He took away my wife. That's my wife, it's not his wife. And just because I promised him, Hashem punished me and he took mine. But this is really mine. So I cannot, how can I take back my wife? Only I take back my wife if he's going to be dead. So this is one. But this is not justified yet. This is a very nice story, but it's not. Ari comes and says like this. The Midrash says this, the Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, that the word Adam is abbreviation, Adam David Mashiach, and we all do know that Adam HaRishon tried to give David HaMelech 7 years of his life. At the end, Adam HaRishon regretted, did not give it to him, after he saw what happened with him, but in the beginning he saw David HaMelech, and that's what the Gemara really means. In Masechet Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, Ruya Eta Bat Sheva Le David. Adam means that David HaMelech is the same person as Adam HaRishon and Bathsheba is Chava. Says Zahi and Uriah is the snake. That means the snake, for example, the Midrash says that Esav had like a tattoo on his thigh when he was born as a snake. That he is part of the snake. The Gemara says that Cain is a snake. What it means like this, the Gemara says that Cain was born from the snake. It means Hevel was born from Adam and Chava, but Chava's pregnancy with Cain was not with Adam HaRishon, was with the snake. And eventually Esav is like Cain and he was born, so Adam is here with a tattoo on his thigh of his snake. That this is why you can compare Esav to Cain, because it's the same entity. So again, you have an entity of this world, and that entity really did not come from human being, came from a snake and Chava. Eventually, the Noah's wife, Naama, she was the last descendant of Cain. Since she carries the genes of the snake. Those genes of the snake came into Ham in the Teva. Eventually, from Ham came Chiti. Uriah, Chiti is the great grandson of Ham. That Ham is the son of Naama. Naama is the granddaughter of Cain. Cain is the descendant of the snake and Chava, and it means he is part of the snake. Therefore, he is the snake. It means he took away Bathsheba the same way the snake took away Chava from Adam. That's what Dari says.
Does the mother of condemn David?
Don't condemn. That's what the Gemara says, don't condemn. That's exactly what the Gemara says. Kol ha'omer David chata, Rabbi Yonasi writes in the Gemara, they don't condemn David HaMelech. We condemn David HaMelech that he didn't look good in the newspaper.
What's that about?
That's exactly what I said.
If he did do a thing,
again what I said. The Gemara said, whoever says David HaMelech sinned, he has a big mistake. Came the Radak and tells what I said before, that it was not sin in the act. The sin was the way it was done, but not the actually did. That's what I'm about. The way the thing was done, the way he took Bathsheba, the way he sent Uriah. This is why David HaMelech was so upset, because this was in public eyes, the thing wasn't right. Since you don't do such a thing. But if they would have known the whole story, they said, okay, but again, you don't do it in that way. This is what David HaMelech says, I've seen by doing that thing that in public eyes, that thing happened. But the Gemara said, you're not allowed to say David HaMelech says. So again, this is his will. This is David HaMelech's will to Shlomo HaMelech. He says, you see this guy, Yoav, I don't like him for three things. Since you didn't like him for three things, so why didn't you kill him? Why did you punish him? You know the thing. So if you really think it's a bad thing, what do you want from your son? It says, this man you didn't like, you should have gotten rid of him. I see that the Chochmate Ra, sentence 6, it tells Shlomo, you do with you wisdom, it sounds like don't let him die peacefully in Boca Raton. That's what it means. It says, if I would be Shlomo, I says, Father, if it's so bad, why are you giving me this dirty job? You should have done the dirty job. You, David HaMelech, if you really think that he did so many bad things, you should have done the job by yourself. And you don't have to give it in the will to Shlomo HaMelech. Now you can, David HaMelech can call anybody, can call any soldier, anybody, and says, listen, get rid of this guy. Get rid of this guy, buy him cement boots, throw him from Washington Bridge. You have to ask Shlomo to do it. What's Shlomo? That's the will that you have to say before you die, Shlomo. That's what's bothering you. That's the last statement what you're going to say about Yoav. That's what bothers you. Nothing else you want to talk about it. The second statement is sentence 7.
Something with the descendants?
I'm sorry?
With the descendants? With his descendants? Or he didn't want to kill him before he had his
children? No, that's Shimi. That's Shimi.
I know, but it's...
No, the man made it. It doesn't say it. You get it in a minute from the next one. It won't answer this either. Because even for the sentence, he should have killed him today. You don't leave this dirty job to your son. But that's not a will. Again, that's not a will. You don't tell your son, that's the will. It's nothing else he tells him, only this thing. The sentence says, with your permission, with his name of Lagi, Adita Sechesid, to the children of Barzilai, Agiladi, you should do kindness. So you, Baruch Shachanecha, should invite him to eat with you. Kechen tavu elai bevorchim zem shalom achicha. While I was running away from your brother's Avshalom, I ran away from your brother, then they came and helped me, they supplied, and the Navi says, they supplied David HaMelech some food. Barzilai, the father, now Barzilai is dead already, maybe. And he's telling Shlomo, you should invite his Barzilai's children to sit down and eat with you. So Mendrad says they were very rich. They don't need any favors from David and from Shlomo. And says this is just a nice thing to be very nice to them. Okay, maybe it sounds like a good way. Like, I don't know exactly what it means. I mean, that's so important to say. I mean, that's so important for me to know what was the will that David told Shlomo this. In Eimcha also, I'm telling you, there's one thing in Eimcha, so the Gemara says, this is Shlomo HaMelech's rabbi. David HaMelech hired a genius guy, his name is Shimi ben Gera, ben Emini from Binyamin, and he in Eimcha. He tells him he's with you, it means he is together with you, it means this is your rabbi. So you know your rabbi? Is that your rabbi, Shimi ben Gera? Let me tell you something about your rabbi. He is with Bahurim. Let me tell you something about him. He makes fun of me. That's the simple explanation of the Gemara says. Also, maybe it means also a curse, but simple explanation means he made fun of me. He made me very cheap. When I ran away from Avshalom, he met me and he made fun of me. And he made him fun of me. Not only made fun of me, he cursed me. He didn't curse me, but he said some bad words about me, and also he threw some sand on me. And then when Avshalom was dead already, and I was coming back to Yerushalayim, he came towards the Jordan River, because David HaMelech crossed the Jordan River to the inside, and he came towards me, and he asked me, please forgive me. And by Shavalo Bashem Nemolim Metchabecharev, I swore with Hashem's name to him that I'm not going to kill him. The Atah Aten Akeru, please, you know, I swore to him, but now you don't forgive him. Ish Chacham Atah, you're very smart. And then say, you know what to do to him. Please make sure that he is going to die with blood. That's very wrong. Very wrong. He swears to him, and then he tells his son, you go kill him. From that, there's no answer for that. Oh, there is an answer. But the way we read the Navi, it says, just sounds like David HaMelech takes his son, 12 years old boy, and gives him the dirty job so to get rid of certain people, like David HaMelech did not want to do it, and that's his will, that's his will, nothing else. Can you tell me something about your Swiss account, what stock you have, and what real estate you got? Tell me how to run the country. Nothing. There's no information. Nothing. That's the whole will. There's nothing else. Nothing. He told you some other things as well. That's all what he told you. Nothing else. That's how you prepare your 12-year-old son to be the new king. No information, no direction, no method, nothing. It is go get rid of those two people and also invite those two people to your breakfast table.
They pose a threat to the kingdom. The will and the money is not the
relevant.
The people have to pose a threat to the...
If they pose a threat, you should tell them to be careful from everybody. But I don't think that's the will.
Maybe.
The way chapter 1 says, chapter 1 said when Shlomo HaMelech was anointed, Shimi was part of the people. Shimi is rabbi. It's hard to believe that he is danger for the kingdom. David HaMelech would not have appointed him to be the rabbi of Shlomo HaMelech. Now he has to kill his rabbi also. But then again, chapter 1 says that Shimi was joining Shlomo with his congregation. What do you call it?
Inauguration.
Now chapter 1 says that he went along with Shlomo and he is the one that that came to the anointment of Shlomo HaMelech. You are really right, maybe. But again, it doesn't make sense. There's no other instructions. When you're going to appoint a king, you should tell him something. As a little boy, 12 years old, you should give him some direction, something. Doesn't tell him anything. Near the end, the chance sentences, may not even know what I'm going to read. David died immediately, they buried him, David, with a mimish mark, David, with a mimish mark, on the Shalash, with a mimish mark, with a mimish mark, with a Shlomo Yashar, like he said, David, with a mimish mark, with a sentence 12, Shlomo sat on his father's chair, and Baruch Hashem, he was able to rule. But you call Malchuto Beyado, he understands everything, not only that, the Gemara says that he is able now to rule also upstairs as well as downstairs. That's how powerful Shlomo is going to be. The man we're going to learn is calling all the Shedim, the angels from Shamayim. It says, David HaMelech dies, Shlomo takes his place in a perfect way. So the metal says like this. The three things says the Midrash was given to Am Yisrael on a condition. It says Eretz Yisrael, Beit HaMikdash, and the kingdom of David HaMelech. Even though you find in the Torah, yes, you find in the Torah that Hashem promised Abraham Eretz Yisrael, Hashem promised Yitzchak, promised Yaakov, promised Am Yisrael, but this is on a condition. It says that Gemara, the Midrash says, it says, ישמרו לכם פניפצי לבבכם וסרתם ועבדתם ועצר את השמיים. הקדוש ברוך הוא is going to send you out of Eretz Israel. It says exile came not because just a punishment. It says that's what it says Shema Israel. It means you should know you got Eretz Israel on condition. Hashem never granted us Eretz Israel because we own Eretz Israel. You own Eretz Israel on the condition. If you behave, says the Midrash. The same thing is Beit HaMikdash. Yes, Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, was burned. It's not a punishment. It means you don't have the right to have it unless you deserve it. It's not the Goyim destroyed it because they destroyed it because it's a punishment. It means even deeper than that, you don't deserve to have that thing unless you behave 100%. The third thing the Midrash says is Malchut David HaMelech, the kingdom of David, which means Mashiach, is only if you have the right to have it. It means Hashem did promise on the condition. If you behave, you'll have it. If you won't behave, you won't have it. says the Midrash, but two things are guaranteed. One thing is the Torah, and the second thing is the Kohuna. The Kohen, he cannot take the Kohuna away from a Kohen even if he doesn't behave. Ted is always going to be a Kohen. The Kohen is forever. Doesn't matter what he does, he's a Kohen. And Torah is forever, but all the other three things is on condition.
And the Kohen who doesn't behave can do the Avodah?
Yeah. Well, yes and no. That again, they will not take away the Kohuna from him. Maybe he cannot serve as the Kohen. But that's Shuvah for sure, yeah. Yeah. I think after, for example, a Kohen that married a divorcee is still a Kohen. Only his son is not a Kohen. He himself is still a Kohen. Yeah. The son cannot, but he can. The Gemara talks about the Kohen HaGadol, if he doesn't behave, they take him away, but they bring him back. But that's what the Midrash says, the Kohen is forever and Torah is forever. But the other three things are conditions. So really, Rashi says, really, this is one when the Rebbe called Shlomo, when he feels he dies, he's going to die, and called Shlomo and said, listen, I'm going to Bedeh Kol Haaretz, it means I'm going to die like everybody else, it means I did not fulfill maybe what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to fulfill. The Metro says, if the Rebbe would have lived 100 years, the Metro says he would have built the Tamigdash and built the Tamigdash would stay forever. He died at the age of 70 ahead of time. And that's what the Gemara says, Vayikrivu. Even David Lamut, every time it says Vayikrivu, it means he did not reach the same years what his father was living at. His father is the Yishai, lived 400 years. David HaMelech only 70. And the Gemara says, every time it says Vayikrivu Yemei, somebody is coming closer, it means he did not come close enough. He should have lived a little bit longer. David should have lived, said the Midrash, a little bit longer. If it would have lived 100 years, it would be much better. The whole thing would be finished. But he didn't. Because of Shlomo, he said, let me tell you something. This is the crucial statement I'm giving you. It says, you should know you have to be strong. What it means is not to be a man. It means if you want to be successful, the Tamil Zeal says, it means you have to be careful not to do sin. It's not the Chazakta, which says in sentence 2, you should be strong, you should be a man. It means not a man as a man, it means man means that he doesn't do sin. It says this is crucial. Sentence 3, if to keep the mitzvot, yes. It says, sentence 4, it says, in order for Hashem to give you the kingdom, it means you should know you never got the kingdom. The kingdom is only on condition. If you will be here 100%, you'll be a king. If not, you lose the kingdom. And this is really a crucial thing in the will of Shlomo HaMelech. It says, but by the way, I want to explain to you something. The Midrash is just opposite what it says over here. Just opposite. He calls up Shlomo, he says, listen, Shlomo, this guy, Yoav, he did some bad things. I did not want to kill him. There's a reason. Maybe we'll get to it. But now, this man is already old. Very soon he's going to die anyway. Now if you're not going to kill him, then he's not going to go to Olam Haba. He says, indeed, those three bad things that he showed the letter, that he killed Avner and he killed Amasa, he says, he's not going to get to Olam Haba. The only way he's going to get to Olam Haba, if he's going to die, it's going to be a forgiveness for him, something what he did. What he did is that he killed, if we say, two people that I was not happy with him. Again, he killed, he had his own reason, but it's not 100% clean the way he did it. And he will not get on my bow. He's my nephew. His name is Yoav Ben Tzuria. I want him to have on my bow. The only way to get on my bow is if you're going to kill him. So please get rid of him. Get rid of him. It says, don't let him die peacefully on his bed, because if he'll die peacefully on his bed, he's very nice, very comfortable death. But in the next world to come, he won't be able to be. So the will is just opposite what we think, says the Midrash. The Midrash says the same thing. It says, Al tanicheu lamut mitat asmo belipol ba gehenom. So if you let him leave, he says, Baruch Hashem, he dies very nice on his bed, in his sleep, thank God, he didn't suffer, very nice. This is the rabbi said in the eulogy and his funeral, Baruch Hashem, he says, it's a very nice thing. But it's only one condition. If this man was 100% in his life, if he was 100% in his life, then he won't enter Gan Eden. Chas v'shalom, he'll go to Gehenna. That says, David HaMelech tells the wish of Shlomo HaMelech, don't let him die on his bed, because if he dies on his bed, he's going to go to Gehenna. And the second way he says, let me tell you something. You have to appreciate what's called Hakarat HaTov. It says you're not allowed to forget somebody did a favor to the family. It says, remember, I was once running away from your brother Avshalom, and this guy Barzilai came over to me and gave me some food, and he's already maybe dead by now, and the Gemara has some complaints about this guy Barzilai. He wasn't the perfect image of a Jew, maybe, says the Gemara. He wasn't the cleanest one, if we may say. But still, he helped me very much. I wanted to invite his children to the table to remember what somebody did good to the family. The third one, let me tell you, is something very similar to the first one. This is Yerevi. His name is Shimi Ben Gera. That man did not behave so well to me. And I promised not to kill him. He's a genius. He's head of Bedin. He's very, very big rabbi. But I want to express the same thing. If this guy is going to die a regular death on his bed, he won't go to Gan Eden. I said, I swore, he asked me to swear to him that I'm not going to kill him. I swore to him. I wanted to show him that I don't have anything personally against him. But you should know it's not between me and him. It's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If he will die on his bed, he's not going to go to heaven.
Rabbi, they had done true for what they had done. Yes. They didn't. Holy Master, what? Prior to him killing them.
Right.
And they asked for forgiveness.
Right.
Would that have exonerated them?
Yes. Again, but we have to know the truth. Teshuva, the Rambam writes in his book, that a person has to teshuva in a way that Hashem is a witness. And that person regretted the whole thing for sure. And Hashem says the man already took it out from his head completely, that not only he doesn't have it anymore, he will never have done this thing ever in any other occasion or in any other accident. The Rambam writes, only Hashem knows it. And if a person will put in the same situation, will not do the same thing. If a person does it, definitely. But, the Gemara said, certain sins, even if you do teshuvah, you can have forgiveness only at your death. Unless you do something very special to change that sin into a good deed, into a mitzvah. But the regular thing, yes, teshuvah. Those words never did teshuvah. Never. Never. And Rabbi told us in Sefer Shmuel, they never did teshuvah. It says in the story, if you remember Sheva Ben Bichri, it says that Shimi joined Sheva Ben Bichri immediately after he asked forgiveness from David HaMelech, he went and he joined a new party against David HaMelech that was led by Sheva Ben Bichri. So again, this says a Midrash again that David HaMelech called Shlomo and says, you know your rabbi, I want your rabbi to have Olam Haba. It's not the way it says over here. Then it says, don't forgive him, make sure he's dead. He says, make sure he's dead, because I want him to have Olam Haba. He says, that's what the king is all about. He says, before he dies, he doesn't tell him any instructions, any directions, he doesn't tell him what to do, he only worries about people that really are, if we may say, the enemies, or the Rimelech doesn't like them so much, for a reason, the Rimelech says, I worry about their Olam Haba. That's what he says, Anochi Olech Bederech Kol Aretz. This is what David HaMelech called in Spanish, I'm going in the path of everybody else. And Zari, what it means is not, it means he tells him, listen, I'm going to die like everybody else. They don't tell him, he doesn't want to comfort him. He tells him, I'm going to the path, the right path. And I go to the right path. Says the Gemara, you have to worry. Says, you have to worry what? The Gemara says, Mishin Enosh Chavero Biglano, if somebody is going to be punished because of a person, Lo Machnisim Otem Eshtadosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you cannot enter next to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means like this, if somebody did something bad to you, and eventually you die and you go to Gan Eden, but that person that did something bad to you, he will not be able to go to Gan Eden because the person got punished. you're going to be pulled out of Gan Eden because you have caused somebody else to suffer that he's not going to work on it. So constantly in your life, you have to forgive everybody, and you have to pray all the people that are against you. We say your enemies, and they're going to get punished. You say, this guy is a very bad person. He did something bad to me. God will punish him. It says, when you say God will punish him, it's a Gemara. If you tell God, punish this guy, he's a bad guy, it's backfire to you. It says, a person cannot enter Gan Eden. It says, the Gemara, if your enemies will be in Gehenom, David HaMelech is telling Shlomo. It says, you're going to be a king, it's going to be other people against you. And he said, the king always has oppositions, but I'm telling you, this is my will to you. I want you to make sure those two people will have Gan Eden. Not just because I want everybody to have Gan Eden. He said, I cannot get into Gan Eden if I would have enemies here on this world, that those enemies are still already in Gehenom. If they're in Gehenom, I cannot be in Gan Eden. It says, a person is not allowed to have any enemies in his life for his own benefit, even though he's right 100%. He says, I'm right, you have to be killed. Shimi ben Gerai already is a bad person. I gave him the job, but you, I want you to make sure that he dies with kind of punishment should be forgiveness for him, because if he's going to end up getting on, I'm going to end up getting on. He says, the Niyokhe B'dach Kol Ares, he says, that's the whole will. He says, Akarat HaTov. He says, I want you to appreciate the children of Barzillai, because they did the father did something to me. It says it goes for generations. Invite them, they don't need my food, but be close to them, show them if you appreciate what they did to me. As well, you should take care of all the people and the enemies that really are war and are against me. I did not kill them, I want you to do it in a certain way. They should have forgiveness. So wait, now they're going to get older, and now they're old enough, and you're going to do the job in order for them to enter Gan Eden. That's the way I'm going to bring them.